is yours, the world is yours.
Welcome to Rex's World. I am Caleb Rex Roush. This is my world. I want to welcome my two guests. We've got two of the three hosts of Dirtbox Boys. We've got Zachary Clark and Elijah Meng. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We were supposed to have your third, Matt Franco, but we got two of the thruple here.
You know, he's got a job where he kills bugs, and he had to stay late for that.
Yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, the bug was just too big. He couldn't handle it.
It was one single bug.
Yeah, well, usually it's a lot of small ones, but this one they just had one bug the size of a dog or something, and he was too scared.
It's like a final boss type of situation.
Yeah,
I was telling a friend of mine about Matt, who has a job in pest control. I was like, yeah, he's a certified bug killer. And he's like, whoa, calm down. I didn't know that bug was like a racial slur. So yeah, anyways, what kind of racial slurs are we allowed to use on here?
Oh,
I'm just curious.
I think we can leave it at bug.
Okay, cool. We're going to leave it at bug. Cool. All right. Well, man, I'm really glad to be here.
I hate when people be bugging out.
Yeah.
How are your guys' day jobs? Doesn't seem to be keeping you guys from being able to make.
We really just spend our days following Matt, watching him kill bugs. Mm-hmm. Honestly,
yeah. Like, commentating.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? He's he needs a lot of support. He's a good friend of ours. Like, we'll give him back rubs and give him water and stuff like that, because mm-hmm. the bugs, you know, they can be pretty deadly out there.
And try to take good care of them.
Partners.
Yeah, I don't work a daytime job. Fortunately, I make thousands of millions of bajillions of dollars doing comedy, so
yes.
It's become like a full-time thing for me.
Yeah, mainly from Dirtbox Podcast. It's
yeah.
Patreon only.
Uh-huh. It's a free podcast, by the way. We don't make a single dollar, but somehow it pays my bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's free. We got a lot of advertising. We're actually we're running a new ad for Lockheed Martin. We're
mm-hmm.
doing a big Lockheed Martin push.
We got APAC.
Raytheon. Yeah, APAC. Yes. Raytheon, Lockheed Martin.
You guys are hitting all the markets.
Israel.
Yeah,
big,
so
and Palestine too.
Yeah,
you know.
We kind of are
wow.
we don't like to pick
figures.
Sides or anything like that.
It's a worldwide.
Yeah,
we'll take all their money.
Yeah.
Well,
picking sides, I mean, honestly, if you take a stand for something you believe in, that's really pathetic.
Yeah, we're not a picking sides type of podcast. We also, yeah, like I said, we make no money, which is good because my landlord does take, like, social media clout as payment for my monthly stay.
Yeah, Elijah, he's going to start doing front-facing videos on Instagram with his landlord.
Oh, wow. TikTok,
yeah.
Are you going to cover TikTok dances as well?
They're going to do TikTok dances while they evict single moms. That's what it's going to be.
Wow,
about, yeah.
that's innovative.
Uh-huh. As soon as we kick him out, then we have Matt coming in to do a pest control job.
Yeah.
Oh, does he kick the door in with his?
He kicks
on
the door in, and then he's gonna treat for bugs, and then he's gonna give the crying single mom a bill right in front of her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And maybe like 2 or 3 minutes of bits or something.
Yeah,
he's gonna go in there with
the
type 5.
Hey
guys,
yes.
Hey guys, really glad to be here. How's it going? My name's Matt Franco. As soon as he kicks down the door.
Yeah, we do have this running gag on the pod that Elijah pointed out that whenever I do a Matt impression, I always go, "Hey, Matt Franco here." And now that I'm aware of it, we really lean into it for sure. So yeah, Matt kicks in the door. "Hey, Matt Franco here to kill some bugs and ruin your life."
Well, you know, it's a really good impression when you have to say the person's
yeah,
name.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I'm the goat of all time. I'm the greatest goat of all time of impressions. And
it's a formal title.
Yeah, hey, Matt Franco here.
The goat.
Yeah, the goat.
There's two G's.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Indeed. What was the birth of Dirtbox Boys? What did? I know you guys are all three friends and stuff, but what made you guys decide we needed to put this on air somewhere?
It started kind of in a room like this, but we had Milo Loza, who's a good comic, funny guy, one of our closest friends. He was gracious enough to lend us an hour slot in the Portland State University's like communication radio room. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, we were airing a slot at like 11 p.m. on Saturdays. And, it kind of culminated from that. And then, you know, we were recording there for a few months. But, we got to be pretty busy on Saturday nights with comedy. And we just took it off the college campus because it felt weird being 25 years old on a college campus. I don't have any courses enrolled there or anything.
You guys are just there to make content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, being the oldest one, he felt right at home on a college campus for some reason.
Did he kind of give you that Dazed and Confused kind of vibe.
Matt.
He was certainly Dazed and Confused, that's for sure.
That's Matt's, baseline.
I mean, really, the radio show was all about teaching Matt how to read. We were just trying to help him, yeah.
We would trick him and then take him into the library at Portland State and then just have him read a picture book.
Picture book. Wow.
Yeah, it was a picture book, but it was like a really long one. It was for like War and Peace, you know? It's like 1,000 pages with words, and he had to read 10,000 pages of the pictures.
You ever read that book, Hugo? That's like that thick, but it's just full of pictures?
No.
I have not.
Oh, I remember in elementary school, I'd have to take like accelerated reading courses, and it was like a benchmark that you had to like prove your competency in reading and writing. Uh-huh. And then all of the kids found that book as like a cheat code because it would give you like 8 or 9 points and all you had to do was like skim through some paper, like pictures.
Yeah, I remember I had this this kid in my school, name was Owen, and he hacked the AR system, dude. He hacked it because instead of just reading like a regular book, he was cranking out Berenstain Bears books.
Oh my God.
So he like did the math and he was like, yeah, I mean the Berenstain Bears book, like there was like a minimum number of points that the AR books would give you, and he's like, if I read this, it's like 50 to 100 pages and it's 2 points, and like a full-size book is 200 pages and it's only like 6 points.
What was this system? Was this was something that
they called it AR points where I was from, like accelerated reading.
You'd approve,
you'd get on like a computer and then take a test over the book.
Yeah, you had to prove that you paid attention and you understood what it was all about.
Yeah, see, we're from the South, so we kind of grew up with, like, half-assed sort of education.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what if reading was a game?
Yeah. And then I think at that age, we definitely learned how to put in as very little effort to get the result we were looking for.
Yeah.
And that's stuck with me my whole life. I was a C student in college and in high school, so I knew exactly what I had to submit and turn in to get what I was looking for.
Just to get by.
Yeah, and C's get degrees, baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else was a C student? Fellow Texas native, George W. Bush.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Oh, I would assume that he was an A-plus stellar valedictorian student.
No, he
said George Bush was a C student?
He said he got C's, yeah.
Wouldn't guess that.
Yeah.
No, you're blowing my mind.
Yeah, I thought you knew everything about Texas.
The reading material is kind of interesting because you would think that in the South they would just kind of hand you like the Bible and a couple of Sports Illustrateds and read these.
Yeah.
They would definitely do that. I think if the Holy Bible was like eligible for AR points, they would probably do that for sure.
Put that one in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder, it probably is eligible for AR points, honestly.
Probably, and the Quran is just absolutely, banned from all public libraries.
They'll take points away.
Yeah, if you do the AR test on the Quran, the cops just show up to your classroom.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because did you have the school cop, too? Just a police officer who was there?
I didn't get one of those till high school, but yeah.
Yeah. We had one in middle school and
carried
high school.
Like an actual firearm.
Yeah.
They didn't have the firearm till high school, but
our middle school one had the firearm.
Our middle school had a baton,
which nice.
Made me wonder like who is he beating the crap out of with that thing?
Yeah.
Is he protecting the kids or is he teaching the kids a lesson?
I grew up in Florida and we learned the hard way in real time they were not protecting those kids. That is for sure. Yeah, they went to court over and everything. So,
oh, God.
Yeah.
There was a situation in your school?
No, not in my school, but it was in Parkland. That was like the whole thing is the cops were too scared to go in there. He's that guy's got a gun. That's scary.
I remember that one.
Yeah, shout out. Shout out the school resource officer, student resource officer, that's what they called him.
Yeah, that was your first like lesson on the Castle Doctrine in your school was having that guy around with a pistol. He's like, if anything goes crazy, this is my castle, and I'll open fire on any kid I have to right now.
Yeah, no, teachers in Florida schools, they made it clear that they were okay with killing us or, like, watching us die.
Doing what they had to do.
Or just not doing what they don't want to do or doing what they do want to do.
Or being a C-plus student as a teacher, just putting in the very minimal effort to get it done.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't get it done,
Yeah, absolutely. Coasting by.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you guys regularly have guests on the Dirtbox podcast,
no,
or is it just usually you three?
Just riffing? Us. We've had a couple guests. huge mistake every time.
Really?
Yeah, Milo Loza, terrible guest. Sam Whiteley, awful guest.
Mm-hmm. Aaron
Thomas.
Sam.
Don't forget about Aaron Thomas. He's a bad guest.
Aaron Thomas, bad guest. Bald. both.
Correct.
Milo, not bald. Mm-hmm. Aaron and Sam, bald.
Sam, I feel like would be hard to have on because I feel like between him and Elijah, it'd be like a battle of who's got the softer monotone voice.
You know, we had Sam on the podcast because Matt, similar to today, was gone. He was too busy seeking out sexual relations with women
underaged,
of the night,
underaged people as well. I've heard.
Yeah, girls of the night. Maybe mm-hmm. that's a better women's a strong
oh,
wow. term.
Yeah. That's on there too. Don't bleep that, by the way. I want that to stay on the record. Matt Franco was not here because he was trying to procure a prostitute.
Yeah. He was trying, but you know what? The not reading part is hard. So mm-hmm. he just couldn't understand the contract they wanted him to sign. So
and
you know that's how prostitutes work.
So do you guys handle most of his money then too?
We handle well, if it's
he
prostitution
the money.
Related, yeah.
And I handle like the paperwork and the contracts. So.
Yeah, Elijah, he's you know, I'm the money guy. Elijah's like the enforcer, you know.
Telling him no.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Matt's the boss.
I mean, you can call it an enforcer. I'd call it a pimp. I'm Matt's pimp.
So yeah, we show up at people's doors and you know they owe us money and I have to explain how much they owe and Elijah just cracks his knuckles and smokes cigarettes in their apartment.
Uh-huh. Jeez,
yeah, ashing cigarettes on their cats and stuff. Yeah. So basically, that's what Dirtbox is all about: is we help Matt procure sexual relations from professionals
mm-hmm. and learn how to read.
But we did have a lot of guests on the radio show. In fact, I would say probably too many. You know?
Really?
Yeah, we had them all the time. Had a lot of guests. We had a lot of good guests.
You were just pulling the college kids off the campus?
Yeah, all the time. 18, fresh off the boat, and we're like, hey, how would you like to interview on our podcast, young man?
Tell us about life.
Yeah, give us your perspective on life. And then they would tell us, and we would just yawn and tell them that it's a stupid idea and all that kind of thing. Yeah.
Working in high schools, I had an idea. That doesn't sound good to start with.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not
that's
a good
right.
way to start.
No,
but for a show where you have comics on and we make them sit there and watch like a video of
two people having sex.
No, but okay. like a teen taking like a profound point on something, like giving them like having them like. Really get into what they feel on something and then have the comics react to it in front of a crowd, basically. Because some of the stuff they have to say is absolutely stupid and absolutely ridiculous. And I feel like there's a lot to roast, there's a lot to riff on, there's a lot of stuff to talk about on just the absurdities that, like, you know, high schoolers have to say or even kids. Like kids say the darndest things type of thing, but it's comics talking about how awful their parents might be.
Yeah, we honestly, like a real part of our podcast is Matt Franco says the darndest things.
Oh.
For sure.
Yeah, that's what we'll change it to.
You guys are already doing something like that then.
Yeah, kind of. Every once in a while. Depends. You know, Matt's got some hot takes about women and minorities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those come up pretty often. We have to, you know, battle him and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. We're basically trying to educate him and trying to help him be a better person. But by little, I think we're making a dent on him.
It's funny you brought that up because I think I've seen that come out during the midnight mics. He kind of I don't think you guys are around, so he lets loose a little bit there.
Oh, he tends to let loose at midnight on Fridays because another thing about Matt is on midnight on Fridays he's usually. I don't know. I can't say S-faced or whatever, but
he's usually blackout drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He drinks. He has a discounted liquor at a lot of Friday venues. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. The show that you put on with him at a Corner Street bar.
Yeah. So, might I say that show ruined his life?
Yeah. Honestly, like if he was ever on the wagon, that show took him off the wagon, like, without a doubt. He would show up. Like almost blackout drunk, like at like 7 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would come in and he'd already have a six pack of Rainiers and he's like, put these on ice.
Yeah.
And like
two
or three of them would still be missing.
And you would give drink tickets and he would have like four of them. And then, you know, he'd only use like two or three. And then he'd go drink at MFP for free, basically, my father's place in Portland on Grand Avenue. Go check it out if you're ever in Portland. And then, yeah, he'd go to Funhouse Lounge and then would basically just lose everything.
Just start shotgunning beers on the stage. Mm-hmm.
The first time, Funhouse Lounge, they were renovating and they were closed for a while. And then when they reopened, that first Midnight Mike back, he was so excited. And, yeah, Corner Street was that day. And he shows up to MFP already, like, blackout drunk and just keeps drinking. And he goes up, and I'm sure he has no memory of this night at all. And, of course, Matt's always like, I'm not even that drunk. Mm-hmm. Like, how much did you have to drink? He's like, well, I had, like, 7 beers mm-hmm. in, like, 5 or 6 shots. Mm-hmm. And then a couple other beers after that.
Before the set.
Before the set, before he arrives to Midnight Mike. And he went up there, and he's just, I mean, he crushed. And he was so happy. And I remember sitting next to another comic, and they're like, look at him. He needed this.
Yeah.
He needed this.
One time when his mic got canceled, and then I guess the hang ended up happening at my father's place, you were there, and you were buying him alcohol, and he just had, what did he order, like a stack of pancakes that he ate with his hands or something?
He got a chicken fried steak.
Oh, that's right.
He got a chicken, yeah, this was when you were pitching this show to us. Matt got a chicken fried steak that he did eat with his hands, and he's like, while he's eating it, mm-hmm. his like eyes are rolling back in his head, and he just like housed it like an animal, and he's like, oh man, I really needed that. And then mm-hmm. he got more drinks, and I was like, man, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. And he kept talking about the same stuff over and over again, and I'm just like, yeah. you want to ride home? And this is like, I drive this man everywhere. No car, Matt Franco. Matt No Car Franco, that's his full name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Drive him everywhere. But when he's, like, blacked out, he's like, I don't need a ride. I can get there. Does it all the time.
He gets insulted whenever you offer him a ride. That's how you know he's, like, drunk.
Yeah. And I'm like, you want to ride home? He's like, I can get home. And I saw him the next day, and we were like, yeah, we're hanging out at MFP with Caleb. And he's like, last night? Really?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and he's like, nah, that can't be.
Uh-huh. He didn't remember the
night. No, he was like, I feel like I didn't even drink that much, and I feel terrible this morning. I was like, Caleb was buying you a lot of drinks. He's like, oh, I forgot. He bought me like 2 or 3 of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
I usually do.
On top of all the free drinks he had at 51st Jokes before that.
Oh, that's right. Yep. And then he had to get an emergency chicken fried steak to come revive him.
Yeah. Well, he's got so much, like, he's got this, like, magical power with service workers where they just give him stuff immediately. I went with him to my father's place, and we walk in, and we both order at the same time. By the time I'm done ordering, Matt's food is already coming out.
They can tell he needs it.
They keep it warm for him.
Oh, God. That's a regular.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
A regular thing we got to do is we got to cut to commercials. So we'll be back to talk more about Matt Franco, about Dirtbox, about comedy in general with Zach and Elijah. This has been Rex's World on KXRW Vancouver 99.9. We will be right back. The whole of mic, I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement. Understandable smooth issue that murderers move with. The thief's theme. Play me at night. They won't act right. The fiend of... KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
K KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중 tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Welcome back to Rex's World on KXRW Vancouver 99.9. We're here with Zachary Clark, we're here with Elijah Meng, and now we're finally blessed with the presence of our co-host.
Oh, God.
Brian Brooks is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, good evening. Yes, I am here, fashionably late, as always.
How was that last haircut?
It was fine. It was a guy that I know and a guy that I like who saw one of the bus stop billboards that I am on.
You're on a bus stop billboard.
Yeah. Damn, you're like an ambulance chasing lawyer for haircuts.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, better call Brian on the billboard.
Right, dude.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, I did an iStock photo shoot for a good friend of mine, and nothing ever came of it until about November, I would say, of last year. And all of a sudden, my face was on a TriMet bus stop for an ad for migraines, backaches, and ear infections. And they picked the worst of the 4 pictures of me.
Well, yeah, you got to be in pain for the picture,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm. I looked like I was on the max. Because the whole photo shoot was like, you're like a downtown like commuter person. You're just like going about your day. And they picked the photo in which I looked the most depressed.
Yeah.
And I think it was because they probably saw that and they saw past my face and saw, oh, that guy's riding the max through Chinatown. That's why he's depressed.
Yeah, it's like, are you ever on the max trying to get to work and you inhale too much fentanyl residue and now your body hurts?
Yeah.
Better call Brian.
Better call me. That's right. Yeah, I got it all. One trick pony, one stop shop.
Yeah. Well, Brian, we're glad to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Brian.
You're the co-host. I don't know. Is there a reason you're not on the poster?
Yeah, what's up with that, bro?
No, the reason that I'm on the poster so microscopically is very much a cable thing.
I gave you a bigger
poster,
spot now.
If you look at the poster, his head on it, massive. Mine, not so much.
It's called Rex's World.
You know what, dude?
Do you cut Caleb's hair?
Share a little bit more. I have before. Mm. And you would think that he would give me a little bit more leeway.
What do you think of this haircut? I just got like a low fade a couple days ago.
That's pretty good.
Oh, is it good?
Not a terrible haircut.
Thank you, man. Paid
is
$70
for it. Is it pretty good or is
it
not terrible?
You know what? I think it might be not...
Not egregious.
Not egregious is a good one.
Okay.
Yeah, you said you paid $7?
$70.
Whoa, are you serious?
I'm kidding. I think I'm paying $70 for anything? No.
I was like, I don't even charge that much. And you get free booze when you get your haircut by me.
Yeah,
Matt's definitely gotten his haircut there.
Yeah, probably. I get free alcohol at the barber I go to as well. They have like a little mini fridge. Yeah.
That's like a thing now. They
yeah.
serve,
oh,
they serve
yeah.
mm-hmm. alcohol
a lot
to
of barbershops do that.
Like,
oh, dude,
you're going to be here a while.
We have very nice like whiskeys
so,
and
I don't know how many under 21 listeners you have, but yeah, go ahead and make an appointment at a barbershop. They're probably going to serve you alcohol. They won't card you. I mean,
yeah, actually
they
that's
do?
True.
They're not carded me. They're not bartenders.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
They're
dude.
Barbers, man.
Yeah.
Do you have to have your like OLCC permit or whatever?
I doubt it.
No, because we give it away as complimentary.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay.
Your service.
Which is not illegal if you give it away to somebody who's under 21. It's as long as you're not taking money from them.
Is that what it is?
That's what it stipulates in the Oregon state. Oh yeah. Well, you do things differently here in Washington. I'm sorry.
He works in Oregon.
You guys can buy hard liquor at Safeway, which is
in Washington. Yeah,
yeah, it's so
that's
insane.
Interesting. Yeah, I live in Portland, and I'm looking forward to going to Seattle, where I can buy like whiskey at the Fred Meyer. That'll be fun.
He's actually going to be doing a comedy show in a liquor store.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. I wish that was a lie, but that's where my career has brought me to. Yeah.
What's the show called?
I don't know, but it's at a place called
it's
called A1 Hop Shop is
Rock
the name
Bottom
of the place.
Comedy show.
But yeah, that'll be tomorrow, so that'll be before this comes out.
Stop right the on, Shakes right comedy on. Show.
Oh man.
Is this common now to kind of do like one-off comedy shows at like non-traditional comedy places? Because all over the internet now is like punk and hardcore kids
yeah,
doing shows.
No, it
like
is
a Denny's and like a like outside of a Sonic.
Yeah. I would say that is the norm these days. So I did a comedy show a couple weeks ago at a Claire's at the Lloyd Center.
Wow.
Yeah, I got my ears pierced, got my nose pierced. You know,
he had a big bone in his nose until recently.
Yeah, that
he
is
was
true.
He was too bashful for you guys to see it.
Uh-huh, I had to take it out.
Yeah,
it out,
he made man. Me call him the Rag and Bone Man.
The Rag
wow.
and Bone Man.
Not the yeah. Witch Doctor.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, well, he said he was the
that's
Witch Doctor, and I called
that.
Him
that.
He called himself the Witch Doctor, and we called him the Bitch Doctor.
Oh, see, you can't set yourself up for things yeah. like that. Yeah,
that's not one of the seven words, is it? You
no,
can
no,
say
not.
That. Ooh, look at that. See, me and Zach are very versed.
Thumbs up,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, Donald likes you guys. You guys follow
the rules.
Yeah,
I'm built different
here.
Like that. What can I say?
Yeah, I remember listening to the last episode, and I was like, wow, this is so much fun. And then I just remember listening to Brett going, oh my God. Oh, he said so many bad words.
Yeah, I was just telling them before you got here that we used to do a radio show at Portland State. And then there was another comic that we like a lot put us on with them and then gave us like an hour of their studio time. And they were like, there's a sign on the table that said you can't use these words. And it's just the regular seven. And then they're like, but if you happen to say it, just try not to bring any attention to it. Just gloss over it and move on.
Oh, sure.
Until he would just get an email from the administration's office and just be like, hey, so there are some words that were used on your podcast. So, yeah, that was
yeah.
that. And now he doesn't have a show anymore because of it. Yeah. So thank you, Milo Loza. I love you, man.
So pretty much every single comic, when they saw the list of words that they can't say, they're like, oh, no racial slurs on here, huh? Whoa,
yeah, hey, whoa.
Basically. Whoa.
Hey, oh, wait.
Doing
a
like
second.
A slide whistle noise.
Uh-huh. Oh, God.
We're like, dude, you come on. You can't say that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Think of the clown horn. The
yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, dude.
Now, that's most of Matt Franco's material, actually. So we just
yeah. Recently, like racially motivated stuff. He insists that he's 85% Mexican and he's allowed to say every racial slur. And you know what? We disagree that he's Mexican, but he can say every slur.
Yeah, yeah.
He's really pushing.
Who's gonna stop him?
Who's yeah. gonna stop him? I mean, he's the bug guy. You know, he's got uh-huh. all the chemicals and poison.
He's putting a reel together to try to get on Rogan. So, it's, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, he's trying to find out how racist he can be without getting canceled.
Yeah.
So
he
said,
exactly.
He said the N-word on live air, and now he's DMing Tony Hinchcliffe every day. So, yeah, they're good friends now.
Yeah, he's hosting theaters and arenas for all the Kill Tony guys.
In Austin, yeah, he's a big comic out there already. He hasn't stepped a foot in Texas.
That makes life. Sense. Last time he came up on Midnight Mike, they introduced him like Texas comic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been calling him Mr. Texas personally. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Explains the belt buckle he's been walking around with.
Yeah, he's got the big belt buckle, and he's been wearing a 10-gallon hat. Actually, it looks more like a 9-gallon hat, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. He couldn't afford the 10-gallon. Because yeah. even though he's...
expensive.
Yeah, of course, you know. And who needs all that? Who needs that many gallons?
Not me.
Not me.
Gas prices these days? Yikes.
Yeah. Well, Matt wouldn't know. He ain't got no car, so.
Yeah. He does ride a horse.
Yeah, Matt rides a horse. And you know what? Horse feed is actually way down. So thank you, Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump, for lowering the horse feed prices for Matt.
This
he's
might
doing
not
great.
Go anywhere, but I was thinking about how funny it'd be to like be upset about gas prices and you don't drive just because you like to huff gasoline. You're like, now this is just going to be more expensive. I thought I had a hobby going for me, but now
dude,
the war in Iran is just making this difficult.
Dude, you know paint thinner is not the same. I can't.
Yeah. No.
It's inferior good.
Acetone. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to walk into Sherwin-Williams to get my rocks off. No, that's not what I'm trying to do today.
Yeah, he's like, the Sherwin employees, they judge me. The gas station employees, they've never asked a single question.
They
dap me. Yeah, they dap me up.
Yeah. Oh, big sniffers here, guys. Come on.
Welcome
back. Third time
back.
This week, huh? Boy, yeah. You must be going through it.
They've got it ready for you, like Matt Franco's steak.
It would be really nice, too, if, like, you rode a horse and you're still going to the gas station to buy gas just to huff.
This is for huffing, boy.
Yeah. This is for huffing here. Spit your dip out on the floor. Yeah. So basically that's what Matt does is he just solicits women of the night and then on horseback, of course.
On horseback.
That's
more
what
romantic.
They like.
Yeah, of course.
Very romantic.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if I was a lady of the night, not saying that I'm not, and a man who claimed to be Mr. Texas with a big belt buckle.
A man on a horse with no name.
A man on a horse with no name came up to me.
All the gas in the world.
Ooh. He pulls up to a lot of those corners on 82nd over here in Southeast Portland. He's like, how would you like to have sexual relations with a man on top of a living animal?
Yeah. Not with the horse, but with me on the horse.
With me on top of this horse.
How would you like to do double cowgirl right now?
Hey, there it is.
We got the whole farm on this block right now. Yeah.
I like that a lot. My favorite thing about Southeast Portland is there is a apartment complex that they have signs all over the side that say armed tenants, steal gas, get shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, in Texas where I was growing up, there would be like every time there's like a hurricane every like 8 to 10 months or so, there would be like people with signs outside after their house just gets absolutely decimated. And it's just like, if you steal any of my belongings, I'm coming out here with my AR. I swear, I will do it. Yeah. It's like, how about we just help the community first before we go take up arms, you know? But that's just my idea.
Whenever it was during Hurricane Irma, some guy I know, his grandfather, he lived in like a rougher part of town, and you know, the most devastating hurricane I've ever lived through personally. Yeah, the most defecating hurricane.
Yeah,
really.
Irma pooped on him.
Yeah.
Lots of poop.
Really crappy situation out there. But yeah, his grandfather, someone like swam through the floodwaters and stole his catalytic converter and also drained all the gas, drilled a hole in the gas tank and drained all the gas out of his car.
While swimming in flood water.
Like a flood?
Yeah.
That's
why?
Awesome.
Jesus. Why? Because you weren't expecting it.
Yeah, heck yeah, man.
So it's key time.
And shout out Hurricane Irma, because whenever I was a kid in Texas, I'd watch like the weather forecast and see like the eye of the hurricane basically just beeline towards like Texas. And every single year, like the residents would be like in pray and hope with everything that they had on their hands and knees that it would just like turn the other way and hit the crap out of Florida. We're like, please. And then that year we got our wish and they would just like destroyed them.
For us, it was always Cuba. It'd be like a category 5 storm and it's like, this could kill millions. And I'm like, oh man, I hope it hits them commies over there because we really, I really needed
Castro would never see it coming.
Yeah, we're like, I really need an impoverished nation to take this hit for me so that I don't have to.
That would be insane though. After all these assassination attempts on Castro, he dies at the hands of a hurricane.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and all the Cubans in Miami would be like, what a baby.
Yeah.
What a baby.
Weak man.
Yeah.
We've survived less.
Mm-hmm.
So have you guys lived through hurricanes?
Oh, a lot of them.
Totally.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
You guys are both from Texas?
I'm from Texas. He's from Florida.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you're a Florida man.
So so you've experienced things a little bit more crazier than necessarily a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Like, have you walked into your living room and found like a wild animal like just chilling in your living room, like some of these stories?
I mean, like,
or
you know, bears?
Are there iguanas everywhere?
Yeah, cougars.
I would say that Texas is more like it has horses and guns, but Florida has like gators and crystal meth. You know, that's just flavor of crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like there was a show with Craig Robinson where he was like, his job was to kill like I think there are iguanas in Florida, invasive species or something. They pay people to get rid of pests basically like that. Yeah. Like I don't know why Matt hasn't jumped on that, cuz it sounds like he made quite
it's
a bit.
It's too warm
of,
down in Florida. He needs a cold
he
climate.
He hates hot weather.
Do you guys have those like the Nutria things? Like the like It looks like a beaver with like a rat tail.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I've seen like swimming, one in my life.
I've seen them several times. Like swimming, you would think they're like an otter or something.
I think yeah, it's a northwest thing, to be honest.
It
with
looks
you.
like a it, yeah, it looks like a beaver.
Dude, this is a crazy story.
All of our animals have scales.
Yeah. With like a rat tail. And yeah. Apparently, according to my friend Reed, who is from New Jersey and like lived a lot of time like down in like Louisiana type areas, like apparently they are an invasive species.
Nutria.
And, like, yeah, and you can just like people like swamp dudes like go out and like just get like hundreds of them,
mm-hmm.
and you can get like rewards from like the local like populace, like. For it because yeah. they're such an invasive species,
right?
But I'm like, it just looks like an otter. It looks like an otter with a rat tail. Like I don't.
Right.
Swamp rednecks are built different. Frankly,
they like smack gators and stuff across the face.
Yeah, no, and they're like people. Like I don't know if you guys ever had this. You might have, but it's like there are people who like live in like suburban areas of major cities, and they pretend that they're like these rough and tumble rednecks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you see like a real redneck, and it's like, oh, you guys are not even playing the same sport here.
No, that's what most of Vancouver is. You saw it firsthand at down on the corner.
Yeah.
That bar was full of those people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Yeah, they live in a suburb, and they're like, oh, I'm a tough redneck. I live off the
you
land.
You see these boots? Yeah. You see that mud on my pickup truck? Yeah. I'm a redneck. Yeah. And then a man comes in with like a hole in his throat, and he's talking through like a device. He's like, I have moved here from Texas. I come for your finest whiskey.
my favorite type of like built differently person is like I cut this guy's hair like a month ago who was from Alberta, Canada, and he showed me videos of like a black bear on his porch,
mm-hmm.
and apparently according to Canadians, black bears are just like big dogs.
Yeah, I've heard the saying that like if it's a black
bear.
If it's a black bear, you can give him a smooch, but if it's a brown bear, you better get down there. That's what I was. That's what I was told. Like you better get away.
If it's black, fight back. If it's brown, lie down.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. Brown bears will destroy you.
I'm talking about bears.
Yeah. If you can see, like a brown bear, like clearly, it is. Too close,
mm-hmm.
is what they say. It is like you are like you better have some sort of like bear mace,
gun
or
yeah.
both.
It'll rip your guts out.
The thing can cover ground.
The videos he was showing me was like the black bear like on his porch, and he just opens the front door as it's walking by, and he like gives it a little kick in the butt, and it just scurries. Off. Like, dude,
see, the thing is nutrias
what
are
you doing, dude.
Nutrias are kind of like that. I've seen one in my life before, and I used to go to college in Albany, which is kind of near Corvallis.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen one, and all of the people around there would say, "Yeah, they're all, like all over the place." And one night I was walking home from my job at 7-Eleven, and then I was just texting on my phone, just looking down, and then went through this back road behind my apartment complex where I lived. And then I looked up and then saw a 4-foot nutria standing on his hind legs, just like basically stanced. And I was like, all right, this is a giant rat or like a giant beaver, but I know it's not going to hurt me. But I literally turned around and went the other way.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to figure out if this thing is hostile to people.
No. Oh, yeah. It's very territorial.
I see them all the time at like golf courses.
Yeah. Mm.
Because of all of the types of like water stuff that they have.
And you're always hitting it into the water?
I am always hitting. God, I suck at golf, dude.
It's all right, man. Yeah, golf is a rich man's sport, so you must be doing well for yourself.
Well, we got to stay rich, though. We're going to kick it to commercial here with Rex's World, KXRW Vancouver 99.9. We will be right back. I'm a sailor!
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's C-O-L-U-M-B-I-A-N.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Welcome back to Rex's World. I am Rex. This is Brian Brooks. We're here with Zach Clark and Elijah Mang. Elijah, you were just saying you got to get going to an open mic here soon. Do you have any fun stories from hosting open mics?
No.
All right, we're moving on.
Yeah, have a good night. No. I go to them because I have to. I host them because they pay. So, I'm going to get to go to Al's Den, and they do an open mic there every Thursday. It's a McMenamin's venue. The guy usually hosting it is a really cool guy, Brandon Lyons. Love that guy.
Love Brandon Lyons.
Me too. I'll be showing up there at like 7:30 maybe, if I'm lucky. And then, hosting and making money. I haven't been there in a little bit. I feel like I haven't done comedy in like a week, so I have shows in Seattle the next couple days, and I have to get in the swing of things before we get out there.
Where are your shows in Seattle?
This place called The Rickshaw. So it's hosted by a man named Noah Rubin, a close personal friend of mine. And then another one at this place called the A1 Hop Shop. It's at a liquor store that they guess. Yeah, that'll be fun. So, we'll get to see some nice things in Seattle the next day.
Very cool.
Yeah, I love going there.
Zach, do you have open mic stories? What's funny is I've had, this is the fourth episode now, and I've brought up open mics to just about every one of the guests, and every reaction has been the same as yours.
Okay.
I host them because they pay, and I go because I have to. It's part of the grind.
Yeah, there are people who they volunteer to host open mics for free, and that should be like a clear sign of mental illness, in my opinion. That's just like the most blatant cry for help that I've ever heard. Like, if someone is doing that, you should be like, yeah, I need like a 5150 this guy, get him in voluntarily committed.
What did Brent say? That's like when you go to somebody after the set and you're like, are you okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, are you okay, man? Like, is everything like, how's everything going at home, dude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see some people on stage and you're like, yeah, that guy's got problems at home. For sure. Well, yeah.
It's funny because there are some comics, especially like newer comics, that are like motivated and treat it like they're like going to open mics is like, you know, going getting shots up in a gym or something like that and working hard.
For
and
sure.
Then some of them treat it like they're going to treatment, and it's just like that's a requirement they have.
I mean,
to
you know,
attend.
It's like, dude, I did do like I've done so many open mics, and I definitely was like a big open mic grinder. Mm-hmm. But then at some point, like, there's just diminishing returns. You know, you do enough open mic sets that I feel like I know what I can gain from them still, and so I use them in that way. It's to work on new material and stuff like that. But the issues that I have are going to be better developed by doing like longer spots at shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this will go anywhere or I hope it doesn't derail things, but I did take a bus out here and I got on this bus line called the 105 that was supposed to take me to Vancouver. It was supposed to drop me off at Esther Short, which is a little neighborhood, I guess, in Vancouver.
Yeah, Esther Short Park.
I'm not familiar with it, but it ended up driving all the way to like Hazeldale.
Oh, and I
was like, whoop, got on the wrong bus. So got dropped off there. But that bus driver, it made me realize that I'm getting really old because that bus driver looked visibly younger than I am. And I was like, dang, this is too early in the game for this to happen. And I thought it would be funny to like get on a bus where like the bus driver needs a learner's permit and he has to be accompanied by like an adult. You're like, I don't know how much faith I'm going to put into this man to stop somebody from doing fentanyl on the bus, you know?
They got to be monitored first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you get on the bus and he's like, before we start driving, is anybody over 21 and willing to sit next to me?
I've got this jumper seat here that you can buckle into.
Yeah.
I need, if we get pulled over, I need you to hop in the driver's seat.
They do the fire drill where he like climbs out the window and goes around like into the door.
He's
of the
just
bus.
A guest. He takes his like work shirt off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Takes his uniform off. He's I don't know.
I'm just a naked guy on the bus.
Yeah, you know? I'm just a naked man waiting for a ride.
That's just naked Tony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's normal Tuesday. He's got to go see his kids. Oh gosh.
Yeah, bus drivers, shout out.
It's a visitation day.
Mm-hmm. Supervised visitation day. Let's not give him more.
Yeah, you're
credit
telling
than
me
he's
you're trying to make me think Naked Tony has unsupervised visitation? No, no, sir.
Wrong.
Yeah, there's a social worker in that room.
Speaking of as unhinged as naked men on the bus, have you guys witnessed Matt Franco host Midnight Mike? Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you've seen some wild stuff happen there.
Sometimes,
or him allow wild stuff to happen there.
I know we were probably harping on how much he drinks, which is not something I'm going to take back, but. It's so funny that he will have some of his best opening host sets like that he's ever had and does not remember them the next day.
Yeah, just completely.
And he's like, dude,
out.
And then everybody's telling him, dude, you crushed last night, like unbelievable, like that's something that I have never seen from you before. He's like, I don't even remember what I tried to do, what I did, what my bullet points were, what my set list was.
There was one where he was doing like, dude, he did like 10 to 15 to open up the mic, and he's just torching the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
He's doing time in between comics, and everything is crushing. I mean, he's like untouchable. He's like the king of comedy. To the point where the bartender, Akasha, to be like, yeah, man, so you just got to go up and just say who's next because you're doing like 3 minutes in between comics and it's going very well, but we need to all go home at the end of the day.
Yeah. The crowd's having fun, but...
Yeah, we did have an incident one time. I had an incident one time at Midnight Mic where someone threw a beer at me when I was on stage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
a fellow open mic comedian.
Oh, no. He made some
mad.
He
was also actually an educator himself.
Oh, that's fair.
Or like a school
counselor.
I
guess you can say he's a former open mic comedian.
Former open mic comedian, former educator. I don't think that he does that.
Was this a situation where you said something that upset him? Or
I said the word Mexico, and he didn't like that very much.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, is this former open mic comic and former educator in the room with us?
No.
Like, Elijah, why'd you throw that at him?
Educator, current alcoholic, Caleb
Rex, everybody.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, no, it was a guy sitting in the audience, and I said the word Mexico, and he threw a beer at me. And he didn't like that very much.
Dear God.
And Matt Franco, enemy of the pod, he would always do this thing where, to Elijah and I, where he would sandwich us in between two people who are way better at comedy than we are.
On purpose.
On purpose, all the time. And he would make sure we knew it was on purpose. And so, yeah, that time I'm following Arlo Weyerhaeuser, one of our best in town.
Oh, man.
And they're just crushing. And I go up and I'm like, you guys ever heard of Mexico before? And he's like, boo!
Yeah,
and he threw a beer at me.
Oh, my gosh. And Arlo's a visiting comic at this point now. Now, are they living here?
They're still living.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought.
They're just built so different and so busy and that, you know, it feels like they don't live here because they're too busy getting paid to do much better
just
gigs.
Famous, yeah.
Yeah, while the rest of us are us pigs down in the trenches, down in the mud.
Oh, God. Scraping the bottom of the barrel for the fat, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Man. Well, so the open mics, you've seen things get, you've seen things go smoothly, you've seen things go roughly, but the demeanor, no matter of how intense or crazy the things change, the demeanor on Matt Franco doesn't change, right? You just see this dead faced, or even the light go out of his eyes, like, yeah, you said.
We call him the unshakable Matt Franco, but we also call him that because he's extremely overweight.
Oh my God.
I'm just kidding. He's in good shape. That was just a joke. So. That it works if you don't look at a picture of Matt. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's unfazed. Matt actually holds the record in the scene for most open mics done in a year. Mm. Yeah, he did, I think, over 2,000 open mics in 2022. Mm-hmm. He's just built different like that, man, simply.
Just a grinder.
He's just a grinder. He's number one account on Grindr as well. That's how he does so many open mics, because he doesn't have a car. He just gets different gay guys to drive him around town so he can watch
that's
him.
That's actually
do open
how
mic
he
sets.
Met Zach. Yeah. That's how he got him into comedy.
Yeah, I was cruising. I was cruising at a local gas station, and, you know, Matt was going to meet me up there for some adult services, and he actually pulled out a loaded gun and demanded I drive him to an open mic, and then I was like, oh, can I go up too? And he's like, yeah, but you can't go up early, because I'm going up early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this where you met Elijah? Or how did,
well, yeah, Elijah he's like, Elijah was just there, and he's like, this guy just likes to watch. I hope you're okay with that. He's like, some call him my boyfriend, some call him my companion, you know, really. But there's nothing sexual about it, apparently.
Like a Jay and Silent Bob kind of situation.
Yeah, exactly. Penn and Teller type stuff.
Penn and Teller.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that is funny. Yeah, the quiet.
Matt's pen, because Elijah's pen is too soft, so he has to be Teller.
My pen can't get hard.
Yeah, his pen got no ink, if you know what I'm saying.
No,
his
pen got no ink.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Those commercials are about you, huh?
Yeah, all those male enhancement commercials. Elijah's actually wearing a toupee right now as well. He asked about the haircut. That's because he's wearing a piece right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I was fronting for sure. Yeah,
it's so where you find Brian on billboards and things like that for public transportation, you'll find Elijah's face for male enhancement.
Yeah, in gas stations and dive bars, that sort of thing.
Well, the gas stations are usually just him looking for partners, right?
Well, yeah, it has Matt's phone number on there. Elijah says, yeah, well, of course they share a studio apartment, Matt and Elijah.
For a non-egregious time, call this number.
Yeah. It's just a bed on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have bunk beds, but it's one bed's on the floor and the other one's just a regular bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One guy's got a bed frame, one guy's just on the floor.
Yeah.
Nothing says best friends.
Yeah, twin beds, of course, because they're economical like that. Yeah, but on Elijah's birthday, Matt lets him sleep in the big bed. They push him together. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's got to be a hell of a time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Big milestone for you.
Yeah, well, Elijah, he's aging. His back hurts now, sleeping on the floor. Yeah.
It gets all of us. Brian tells me literally daily about how old he's getting.
Yeah.
It's honestly getting annoying.
And how old are you, Brian?
That's the stupid part about this, is I will be 35 this year.
Nice. Yeah.
But I feel like...
Bro, LeBron's 35. He's still doing it.
I feel like... I feel like every day I just get like a little bit older, but
yeah, you feel like that?
Yeah. Every day. Just like physically,
you're the only one who
mentally, emotionally, and I don't know if it comes from being a father or just like being like a person in this like ever non-existent like like grind of just like existentialism. But
I think that maybe like being a good father has aged you. I know my dad was a pretty bad father and he didn't age at all. He looks pretty young, you know.
Is
so
that why Zach looks so young?
Yeah, he's a deadbeat father. He has two kids he never talks to.
Because I've heard him be referred to as like Chalamet. You know? I've heard several.
Yeah, he's got families in flyover cities.
Oh,
He's got it.
Yeah, I can't really step foot in Des Moines, Iowa.
Used to be a traveling comic. Now you're a Portland.
He'll get sticked with a subpoena if he ever goes touches down in that city.
Yeah, you guys know what a bench warrant is. Yeah, you have knuckle tattoos. You know what a bench press is.
I know what a bench press is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, dude. I've done my time. I'm not going back.
Last week it was the face tattoos. This week it's the knuckle tattoo.
Yeah, I love. Thank you for overlooking my very obvious face tattoos and looking at my knuckle tattoos.
Oh, wow. You have face tattoos.
And being like,
I didn't even notice. Yeah.
And be like, yeah, you know what it is.
Brett called him a Roman. He's like, oh, wow, we have a Roman.
Oh, yeah. I completely overlooked that. I forgot.
Yeah. Very Roman. Yeah. Are you Italian?
No.
You're just wearing jewelry like that?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, that's cultural
appropriation. I watch too many Sopranos and listen to too many Sopranos podcasts while I sleep, so I just like subconsciously became Italian.
You start breathing really heavy when you wake up.
I mean, I breathe really heavy when I wake up anyways because I'm fat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We had to stop him from...
People sit down in the chair like, sure, what are we doing today?
Yeah, that's right. Let me tell you,
What kind of cut are you looking for today?
Previous to becoming engaged, I wore a lot more jewelry, which included a pinky ring.
Dude, if you're not Italian, you can't be wearing a pinky ring. That's crazy.
So I would often find myself talking and pointing like Paulie Walnuts.
Dude, people walk in and get their hair cut, and you're eating deli meat.
Yeah.
He's eating deli meat off the client's neck.
Yeah.
Like, let me get one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I walk in to get my hair cut. I'm like, I don't think I'm allowed to be here.
He's using the straight razor to like cut the apple, and he's just eating it, talking to the guy. Like, so what do you want? What are you looking for here?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this place is a front to launder money for sure. Absolutely. Gets a cash only barbershop in 2026. I'm like, yeah, this guy's.
You got tired of taking the rings off every time you had to cut somebody's hair?
Yeah.
Your hands were just too heavy.
No, yeah, you know.
Heavy as the head.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Whatever happened to the strong, silent type?
Yeah. See, there you go.
They don't make those anymore.
Yeah, they ask you questions. Yeah. How's your day been? You're like, whatever happened to the strong, silent type? No, Gary Cooper, that guy wasn't annoying as hell.
Yo, I love that you got.
You're looking for the John Wayne type of haircut where you sit down and don't say nothing.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I don't want to talk to you. Just sit down and get your haircut and shut up.
Yeah, actually, last time I did get my hair cut, the guy didn't say a word, and that was awesome. Actually, I sat down, he went, it's been a while, huh? And I'm like, okay, pal. Okay.
We know, dude. We know.
Yeah, of course you know, dude. My hair, I looked like a hedgehog or something, dude.
Yeah, no, we know.
Yeah, but then he didn't say another word, and I respected that, because sometimes people talk a lot.
Dude, sometimes, like, I just, like, I'll have clients that are repeat clients, and they just sit down, and I'll just be like, same? He goes, yeah, and that's it. 30 minutes, and I'm like, all right, I'll see you.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, that last time I got...
And we'll just get the grind set, and, like, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. The last time I got this fade just a few days ago, they were serving us drinks for free, and I told the barber lady who was trying to make too much conversation, I was just like, hey, just so you know, I'm about to black out, so if I fall asleep right now, it's not because I'm not interested in talking to you. It's just the alcohol.
Elijah sits down. He's like, hey.
And I just took a bunch of sleeping pills. So.
He's like, I'm really sleepy. Just a quick question before you cut my hair. Do you know how to use Narcan? You guys got that here?
Guys, this has been a lot of fun. I wish we had more time, to be honest.
Me too.
We did too.
We've got so much more stuff to talk about. So many more Matt Franco stories.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna have to save it for another.
You know, sometimes I think that Matt Franco was the friends we made along the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Shout out to Matt. I don't even know Matt,
and I believe in that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Shout out to Matt for really fueling this episode for us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it,
guys. Thank you for being here. You guys can find Zachary Clark and Elijah Mang on the Dirt Box podcast. When do episodes come out, guys?
Whenever I feel like putting them together, pretty much. No, every week or every other week, I'll put out two. So give people some extra content whenever we slip behind. That's free on Patreon, dirtboxpodcast.com.
Awesome. Guys, this has been Rex's World. I am Rip Rex. This is Brian Brooks. Rex's World can be found on KXRW, Vancouver 99.9. Enjoy the rest of your night.
The world is yours. The world is yours. I sip the dumb pee, watching Gandhi.